Yeah, it's Pulse with the sports. You don't need another report. Bleeding green till I D-I-E. Hold it down for the best team. We in first place, we the Celtics. Try to shoot it, we ain't let ya. Finna go and win a ring. Giving fades like I'm Kyrie. You the opposition, can't score, yeah. Homie, you ain't even on the floor, yeah. Big buckets and big shots. Better check the time on the shot clock. Got my shooters on me, they wet you up. It's a 30-footer, I ain't letting up. Scary Terry with the dancing bear. Gonna light it up like it ain't fair. Dunk it on you like Rozier. Fourth quarter, we in fifth gear. I got Tatum, I got Brown. I got Marcus locking you down. Grab a broom, it's a sweep. Score 100 on our feet. Celtics Pulse, we the team. And we don't accept defeat, yeah.
All right, thank you for joining us. A new episode of Celtics Pulse. We're joined today with Zach Noble of the Four Seasons NBA podcast. So go check that out as well. Not now, wait till we're done, but you know, check him out. We're going to discuss, obviously, what's going on with the Celtics here. You got me, it's Derek. And yeah, John is with us too, John Tarnick. So yeah, boys, let's get into it here. Big news today. Anthony Davis has officially come out and told the Pels he's not resigning, which I think we all kind of assumed. But now he's not only telling them he's not resigning, but he wants to be traded. So, yeah, I mean, Zach, what's your take? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I think it was one of the busiest days in a while on NBA Twitter during the day. Felt bad. I wasn't as productive in the office today, I could say, definitely, but. This arguably might be the biggest Woj bomb ever, honestly. I mean, you guys think of a bigger one maybe for you guys. I mean, when you had Kyrie or Gordon Hayward coming, yeah, I mean, Celtics world might be a little different, but I argue this is the biggest Woj bomb of all time.
I mean, it's probably up there, but until an actual something happens, because, like, all right, he's requested a trade, okay, but when the actual, you know, trades start coming up or... You know,
I mean, anyway. Anthony Davis news will keep beating it. I get what you're saying.
I know.
I think it's big. I think it's huge just because of how many teams can now be involved.
Right.
And the two most historic franchises and the biggest rivals, the most storied rivalry in all of the NBA is going to pit each other against each other. To see who gets the lottery ticket of trading Anthony Davis, and with the situation involving the Celtics not being able to get him until this summer, just kind of puts a whole different spin on things right now.
Yeah, that's the major point there, is that it's coming out now, which isn't necessarily best for the Pelicans, because now not only do they have no leverage, but one of the teams that are majorly in on him can't do anything. So it's it certainly is interesting timing, but we will I guess we'll see how it plays out, if it ends up happening, you know, this, you know, before the trade deadline, or if they do what I think is the smart thing and wait this thing out till the summer and then have a bigger market.
Yeah, I'd really argue that it's really good for for the Pelicans. Because they can decide, they have all the power, unlike Jimmy Butler. I mean, being a little wishy-washy, but that was more Thibodeau's fault there. But, I mean, Pelicans can decide. They don't have to make this trade now. I mean, they're not going to lose. They're only going to gain value as summer comes. The only team this is it's a great thing for the Lakers because, I mean, it's really putting them in the front-runner seat. But, like, it's a terrible thing for the Celtics because they got to make a decision. Kind of, depending on if the Pelicans come to the Celtics and say, I have a bunch of offers, we're probably going to take one. They got to make a decision if they want to put Kyrie in the deal, and if Kyrie in the deal even gets them over the top, some of these other ones.
We're all in agreement, too, that this definitely came out from Rich Paul, probably because of his relationship with LeBron, right? If he wasn't LeBron's agent, if he wasn't LeBron's best friend, LeBron has made it known that he would want AD at the Lakers. I'm sure that Magic, in his meeting with LeBron before he signed with the Lakers, brought that kind of plan up to make him sign with them. This is definitely a shrewd move, I think, by AD's team more than AD himself. AD's already pretty much told the Pelicans, you know, he's going to play the year out, which, you know, that, like you said, it's a lot different than, say, Butler or Kyrie, where that relationship's so broken that the player can kind of force his hand. AD doesn't seem to have that type of personality. I mean, I'm actually pretty surprised with how AD has conducted himself throughout his career in interviews about his future, that this did come out at the time that it did. That's why I'm wondering, you know, how much this was more Rich Paul kind of trying to show the Pelicans' hand and maybe give the Lakers an extra chance versus AD actually feeling, you know what, this is going downhill. I need to get out of here now.
No, I'm with you. If he had another agent, I think that it would be coming, I mean, for sure, but like it would have came in the summertime. But because LeBron's realizing the Lakers' assets aren't growing at the rate he would like, and they're not ready to compete right now, which he thought Ingram, like LeBron said at the beginning of the year, was he would expect him to make the All-Star game this year. He thought he could be that good. I don't know if he actually believed the words that were coming out of his mouth, but that's what he said when he was going to be patient with these guys. But I think it's personally all on LeBron, not necessarily Rich Paul. It's LeBron telling Rich Paul, I need this guy as fast as I can.
No, I agree as well. I mean, as far as, you know, Magic, he was just pumping up his guys because, I mean, if Magic does end up pulling this off, then I guess I can recant my statement. But for the most part, outside of landing LeBron, I mean, what has Magic done? He's traded away his best two young players. Well, not traded away with Randall, but he basically let him walk. And then, you know, letting D'Lo go, you know, and then they try to spin that with, oh, well, we were able to get rid of Mozgov to sign LeBron. Well, you could have got rid of Mozgov in other ways. But, you know, if his grand scheme here comes together and he lands AD and then, you know, maybe another move in the offseason, you know, then Magic is, you know, Magic. But, I don't know. I just thought the whole handling of which guys they decided to hold on to as far as, you know, young assets. Because even if you did sign Randall, you have a tradable contract as well. And it's a good big young man, you know, now. So, I mean, it's just, again, everyone's just assuming all Lakers.
Right.
Every team is going to be in on AD. And teams out there have, if not just as good, better young assets than the Lakers. I'm not sold on, you know, like you'd mentioned Ingram, you know, everyone just keeps saying, oh, he's eventually going to, you know, turn into, you know, scoring machine. Well, he's a guy. He can score a little bit, but I don't know if he's, you know, is he ever going to be an all-star? I don't know.
But yeah, are you guys looking to get into it? Like what packages you like or what?
Yeah, that's what I was going to.
I mean, I think the Knicks.
What kind of
Knicks
packages are teams, you know, looking at?
I think the Knicks are the one for me. I mean, I think the Porzingis, I know he's a restricted free agent after the year, but they can obviously match any deal. So they could end up, and if you're the Knicks, I mean, he's oft injured and you can land AD and then you can try to sign another superstar in the offseason. You've got, well, Porzingis, you've got Knox, and you've got a high draft pick. So they stick out to me.
Yeah, that's how many teams are out there. So all of us have looked at the Lakers and Celtics specifically because of the young assets and the ability, because of how deep the rosters or the market is, that AD would sign automatically long term. How about teams out there? What teams do you guys think may pull a Toronto a la Kawhi or, you know, Paul George type trade where he still has a year and a half left? Is there teams out there like the Knicks that you brought up, or a young team like the Kings or even the Nuggets, teams that have young assets in place, but it wouldn't be a foregone conclusion that AD would re-sign with them? Would they take that kind of risk like Toronto did with Leonard?
Yeah, I mean, you named it. I mean, Denver would be a great one. I mean, that's definitely out there, but I mean, I think the big question is, I mean, AD, even before the trade deadline's over here, he could come out and say he only wants certain teams. And, I mean, if the rumors with Kyrie, I mean, are circulating and Kyrie talks to AD, I mean, that would probably take Boston out of things. And honestly, for the Knicks, that's my favorite as well. But the Knicks only do that, in my estimation, if you're for sure getting another star this offseason, or you think there's a good chance of it, then you risk it for AD. Because I'm not, I mean, I'd be willing to give up Kevin Knox and other pieces for a one-year chance flyer on AD, but I'm not willing to give up Porzingis for only 1 year of AD if that's a for sure thing. You want to wait till the summer, though, because the Knicks are the only team that are going to have a super valuable pick, unless the Celtics have a pick that turns into something here. But that Knicks pick, I mean, could turn out to be the number one pick in the draft. That's why I think waiting till summer would be the best thing.
Yeah, that's a catch 22 for them, though, because, like, I know you seem to be higher on Porzingis than I am. He's a great player, but I don't know if he's going to, just his build, I don't know if it's meant for 82 games. And he just seems like one of those guys that's going to give you 50, 60 games, like a Yao Ming, where he was often hurt all the time. Those big guys just have problems staying on the court. So,
that's what I was going to bring up. Kristaps is insanely talented. But that is a really major, major injury for a big guy. There's not a lot of guys with his skill set and his size that have come back and been the same player after the torn ACL like that.
And I said the same thing about Cousins, though. And Cousins looks, I mean, outside of fouling every 5 seconds, he's a guy fouled. He plays less than 20 minutes a game, and he's fouled out twice already.
But, right.
I mean, outside of that, I mean, he looks fine. I mean, he looks...
Well, like we've also got to see Cousins so far. We don't know when or if we're going to see Porzingis. So if this trade's going to happen right now for the Knicks, you know, the Pelicans are going to have to go in dark on that and hope that Porzingis does come back. Now, I do have a question. So even with it being the summer, the Celtics will not be able to parlay that Kings pick for a trade with AD, correct?
I think they will.
Well, the question why I'm asking is because the draft is in mid to Kyrie opt out until July 1st.
Yeah, that's a good point, but they just won't really. I mean, they'll know what the pick is, I think.
I mean, I think they're going to know full well if Kyrie. I mean, as far as everything's been said, Kyrie has told them that he's re-signing. He went in front of the whole crowd. He didn't have to do that before the season, went in front of the whole season ticket holder and said, if you guys will have me, I plan on re-signing you. So, I mean, again, that's not, you know, a signed contract, but I mean,
I didn't think that they could make the trade until Kyrie opted out to do the Derrick Rose rule. Or is that
Rose rule.
Once the season's done and over, excuse me, but he can't opt out until July 1st, which is after the draft. Now, I don't know if there's a tongue in cheek. They know where the pick is. They could always call up the Pelicans and say, okay, who do you want us to draft at this pick? We trade draft picks or we trade this pick to you after we pick. But it has to be, you know, this is part of the deal to get 80. Now,
With draft picks, it seems like once you actually draft a player, it's not as valuable, even though it's just like,
no, I'm with
theory,
you.
The same thing. But if you give them a future first rounder, they're like, well, that could be anything. But as soon as you put a player, like whether it's, you know, say, I mean, again, I would have to get, you know, caught up on the draft and who's going to be around that, you know, where the Celtics are picking, let's say with the Memphis, or if the Memphis pick qualifies, but the Kings pick, let's say that's in the 12 to 13 range, who's going to be around then? I admittedly have to brush up on that, but
it is not a deep draft this year, I'll tell you that.
What I'm hearing.
That's what I'm saying. Say the Kings pick ends up being, because it's only first overall pick protected. So say that it comes out, lottery comes before the draft. Obviously, that's way before they can even trade AD to the Celtics. Say it becomes a fourth pick, third pick in the draft. Do the Celtics then call and say, okay, Third pick's yours. We can't make the AD deal official until July 1st because of the opt-out with Kyrie. Who do you want at the third pick? We'll draft him for you, but that is on the condition that he will then be a player involved in that trade or draft night. We trade him. Once we draft him, we trade him to you for, or even trade the draft pick right now to you for your first round and like a second round in 3 years.
No, that's exactly how it go. But let me ask you guys this. I mean, you guys are the Celtics guys here. I mean, are you 100% on board of signing Kyrie to that big max deal? Because I'm not, honestly.
Okay, well, I am, and it, mainly because at the end of the day, like, when he's healthy, when you watch him night in and night out, he's very special.
I do.
I mean, he's very unreal. Special. So, yeah, there's a little bit of faith that his knees will hold up, for sure. I mean, for a young guy, he's had some knee issues, but that's what this year is. This is kind of a prove that you can play in April, May, June, you know, whereas in last year, he wasn't there. So, and we got to see what the playoff run looks like, too, because, you know, if we make it to the finals and we upset the Warriors, we're the reigning champs, well, then you're definitely signing him. I mean, and I don't see him, like, that's the only scenario where I think everything is 1,000%. Like, they win it all, and Kyrie's a star and, you know, puts on his playoff show like he did when he was with Cleveland. But give me your reasoning outside of the knees. Is it just the knees?
I'm a guy that's scared of injuries, and Kyrie's had been terrible throughout his career. I mean,
well, let's talk about Anthony Davis then. I mean, if you're going to give Kyrie that treatment, I mean, AD is pretty injury prone as well.
Correct, but AD is a number one type player in this league, where Kyrie is top 10 at best.
So your argument is that Anthony Davis is essentially the better player, so the risk is worth the reward more. I would say AD's right around 5 to 7 as far as top players in the league.
I agree.
Kyrie's about 10, so.
So I'm with you. I personally think Anthony Davis is overrated. I firmly believe that. Anybody who throws him in the top 3, top 5 is, I call him out on bullshit, because, I mean, I honestly have Anthony Davis right now on this year. I mean, he's been in my top 7, I'd say, at his highest. But right now, I probably have him like 8 or 9 through this year. But,
passed him. Kawhi's back. You know, obviously, you've got James Harden playing at the level he's playing. Steph Curry. LeBron, when he comes back. So, you can name quite a few players that I'd probably say are better than Anthony Davis, but, you know, Kyrie's right there, man. I mean, Kyrie is, so if he wants to come back, I think you just gotta, you gotta just go with it. I mean, especially with his track record in the playoffs.
Yeah, my thing is just 0-for-1 in the playoffs. Didn't make the playoffs last year with the Celtics, and he's gonna be the number one option this year with the Seas, so we'll see what can happen. But I just think, here's the thing. I don't know if many teams that Kyrie would want to go to will give him that full max. So I don't even know if the Celtics will have to.
He'll have plenty of suitors. The Knicks and Nets. I don't know. The Nets, actually, D'Lo has been playing good. I don't know if they would want to pair those two. That wouldn't work. But I think the Knicks for sure. The Lakers would. I mean,
honestly, the Lakers,
go ahead.
Honestly, right now, I mean, let's talk about what Kyrie's doing right now. If it wasn't for James Harden, it'd be him and Paul George neck and neck for the MVP.
I got Giannis. I still have Jokic and Steph Curry ahead of him for sure. Absolutely.
Steph, really? Steph?
Oh, absolutely. Steph's having...
That's an all-star team, man. I mean, that's not...
Oh, fair. I know. It's that's why Steph... I mean, Steph is third for me. Giannis is definitely number two, but...
Yeah, Giannis, don't get me wrong. I think Paul George has totally changed the team in OKC.
Yeah, Paul George has been awesome.
And playing ridiculous defense. And that's the thing about Kyrie. The position he plays right now, what he's done for the Celtics, especially with Gordon Hayward not being who he needs to be... Jaylen Brown, we don't know which Jaylen Brown we're going to get each night. Tatum has been very good. Horford has been good when he's been on the court. But Kyrie, past month and a half, I mean, it's not unforeseeable for him to go 30, 10, and 6.
Right.
in a game. And is this who Kyrie is? He wanted to be a leader of a team. That's the reason why he left Cleveland, because LeBron was there. He's only 24, correct?
25. He's about to be 26. But
26.
His games played, though, are like a 29-year-old might have, to be honest.
All right, but the contract that he'll sign is, I assume it's because it's, because they're not signing away from another team. It's 4 years with a fifth option, right?
Right.
It's not like a 4 year, 5 years. So what? He'll be 32 at the end of the contract. I mean, it's not like, you know, I think he'll just gave Chris Paul all the same contract, and he's already in his 30s. So like, eh.
And it's he plays too. He plays point guard. Point guards and smaller guys, not smaller guys in the IT range, but I'm saying smaller as in 6'3" versus 7-footers, tend to have longer careers.
Absolutely. It's
just how their body's built. So signing him to 4 or 5 years, in my opinion, in the long term, that's what gives him a little bit more.
I'm not worried about the length. I think he's going to be at his peak this entire next contract. But do I think he's going to be worth the contract because he's going to miss so many games? And is he going to be the leader to actually be the guy that gets them there when you can get guys like Anthony Davis, maybe Kevin Durant? I have no idea. I doubt it. I don't think Durant is the guy. But I think Danny Ainge, nothing gets in his way, and normally can get some of the best players in the league. So. I'd be careful. That's all I'm saying. Now, I guess my next question would be, I mean, Jason Tatum, is he for sure off the table for you guys?
Yes.
yes, until, you know, all of a sudden you've got to, like, if I'm Danny, all of a sudden, like, the Pels are there, and they're like, look, you have Anthony Davis, we just want Tatum, and we want the Memphis pick next year.
Right.
Not the one 2019-2020, the one that'll be, you know, unprotected and looks like it's going to be really high. You know, and then they have to match salaries as well, but that's essentially the deal, you know, Tatum and some contracts. And you've got Anthony Davis sitting there, and that's going to be tough to say no, but I have been on this podcast as saying that I try to keep Tatum untouchable just because once Horford's gone, Gordon's gone, maybe even Kyrie's at the end, that's Tatum time. And I think he'll be a legit top 10 player by then. If he's not a top 10 player by then this is – my take is wrong. But I'm assuming he's going to be.
Yeah, I'm – basically everything you just said, I'm on the exact same page. It's so hard for me. But there might come a time, whether it's now if they decide to pull the trigger and say Boston. I mean, is Jason going to be available in the summer if we wait out? And they'll have to tell him. And I mean, that might be essentially the deal. But I think Tatum has the potential to be a top three, top five player in this league. That's how good I believe Jason will be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He's definitely got all the talent. So, you know, it's an interesting decision for Danny. Now, I've read some, you know, multiple times, you know, that come this summer, you know, everyone's available to the Pels for Davis. Like, he's been stockpiling specifically for this upcoming summer. So he might think differently. And, I mean, obviously Anthony Davis is a Hall of Fame talent. You know, Kyrie will have a Hall of Fame case as well. But, you know, I think we're, I think you've touched on it. Anthony Davis is, you know, has the potential to be the best player in the world.
Right. So here's a crazy thought. Say Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers. He gets traded. You know, we lost him. Is there any foreseeable way that you could see Danny Ainge pulling off getting KD to Boston next year?
Kind of. I actually think that they have a good rapport already. I remember reading multiple times that Danny and Durant's mom were kind of like,
close. Well, he almost signed with Boston. You remember, we all thought it was a done deal, and he went to the Warriors.
I didn't think it was a done
Brady
deal.
Brady almost wrapped that up.
Yeah, so I could see it happening. If they do that, though, that means you've got to find somebody to take Gordon.
Right.
Because there's only so much cap. And if you're re-signing Kyrie, I mean, the only reason you can re-sign Kyrie is because of Bird's rights. You don't have Bird's rights with Durant. So if you're re-signing Kyrie and and it's going to be tough to get rid of that contract. And the other option is to trade Horford, which I actually would prefer not to. I think he would come back on a very reasonable deal. I think he's the epitome of a team player. He's just he's a winner. So I would prefer to keep Horford over Hayward, even though Hayward's younger. But if you're getting Durant, I mean, geez. So if you're able to sign Durant this offseason, which it is a pipe dream, but I don't think it's like I don't think it's 0%. But if
there's anybody that can pull it off, it's Ainge.
Right.
Probably, yeah, probably.
I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a Celtics homer, but he showed time and time again that he could pull something out of nothing.
Yeah, but the big rumor is that Durant has already decided that if the Lakers get AD, he wants to go there and pair up with them too.
Now, can they fit that?
I'm sure they'll figure it out. I think they did a good deal. Again, if they do this, then that D'Angelo Russell deal is fine. It's no big deal, but if they don't land anybody and it's just LeBron and then these three guys, then I still think it was a terrible deal.
I was reading about it today. It gets really hard if the Lakers make the trade for AD right now. But if they wait till the summer, it's all about contracts coming off the books and everything.
Yep.
It makes it a lot harder. I mean, a lot easier to get Durant come the summer.
Durant. Because I think he is going to leave Golden State. I don't think, I think that run is – I think he wants to win a championship somewhere else.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple teams that would make sense. If I was him and he really wanted to, like, cement his legacy as a possible greatest of all time, I'd go to the Knicks. You win a championship in Madison Square Garden, you're a legend. So
yeah, but does he have the balls? I don't know.
Yeah, no. To go to a team that isn't ready, because they're not ready. I mean, they'd have to make another move, and
I don't know him and Kyrie and Kristaps there. I mean,
I know. I guess it's not. I guess it's not impossible. I just don't know if Kyrie would. Yeah, I mean, Kyrie's kind of an enigma because he's such like. Yeah. For him to, it did kind of seem out of character. And call and be like, if you guys will have me, I'll sign back here. So I hope he's a man of his word, and I actually would give him the contract. Having seen, but that again, I always say with the, an opinion is that it is a fluid thing. So if he gets hurt in 2 months and misses the playoffs again, then check back with me. But assuming that doesn't happen. And that is, his knee is good to go and everything's behind him, then, yeah, you re-sign him. He's a top three guard in the league, well, at least point guard in the league.
The dude literally just needs to experience one playoff run as the main guy in the garden, then his life should be changed.
I agree, and I think that'll be the difference. Unless, of course, they stay where they are, they finish about a 3 or 4 seed, and then in the second round, you got to go into Milwaukee or you're on the road in Toronto. Then we'll see what they're made of, because that's as it looks right now, getting home court in the second round, barring one of those two teams getting upset, is going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. I got two other Anthony Davis teams. If you guys will have more,
yes,
move on. Go for it.
Right. No, this is what people want. This is what I want. It's Anthony Davis. Right.
Go ahead. So the first one would be Toronto. I really value Pascal Siakam. I don't know about you guys.
He's good. He's really
most improved player this year, bar none.
Yeah. He's been really impressive. He's a hustle guy. He's elite defender, and he can score a little bit. Sure, I like him.
Yeah, no, I think him, OG Anunoby, I mean, and cap filler,
another defender.
Right, it would be very tempting. I mean, get Ibaka back or something, and. I don't know, or grab one of their point guards too, because Drew Holiday doesn't like necessarily playing the one. They like him off ball.
So Van Fleet, or do you go? Well, Lowry is off the. Isn't his contract up after this year?
Yep.
So maybe that might be their long term plan is Van Fleet and let Lowry go because he's like 33 now. But all right, so Toronto, I could see it, but is that enough? Pascal and OG, and then. Filler. I know Ibaka is still good, but, I think if you're making this type of deal, again, that might be enough. It's tough for me to say. I can't. Because then if you're Toronto, if you're doing this deal, Kawhi's gone. I don't think there's any chance he resigns in Toronto.
But if they get Anthony Davis, I think they'd be doing it to keep Kawhi,
I don't know if it'd work, though. I don't think Kawhi. Yeah, I think he's going to go to the Clippers no matter what.
Then if that's the case, you don't trade for Anthony Davis, in my estimation.
Probably not. Unless you could do it at the deadline and, like, you're like, you know what, we're good, but we could be a legit, you know, championship threat to the Warriors, Celtics, or Bucks. If you have Davis, Kawhi, and Lowry, even if it's for half a season. If you put a banner up, that changes a lot of things. Because then the player's like, oh, shit, now maybe we get together and, you know.
Lowry does have one more year left at $33 million next year. Holy shit.
Oy. So, yeah. So,
well, how about on the New Orleans side, when it comes to their aspect of the trade, the players that you mentioned, we all know as NBA guys are very good players, but do you think that they need to bring a household name a la, you know, Jaylen Brown's known a lot more around the league? Or Lonzo Ball, or somebody like that.
I'd rather see us than Brown, for
want
sure.
Their fans to disappear and lose a team again in that city. So, do they need? Is it going to be more too? Also, this was a great. They were talking on NBA radio today. The GM's perspective in New Orleans, or is he looking to make a deal that makes the team maybe better now, but gives him a step backwards, but he gets his 2-year extension?
Right. You got like the San Antonio deal versus the Minnesota or Indiana deals.
No, the Bulls deal, like versus
Yeah,
that's interesting. If I was them, I would want to. I mean, whatever I do, I would try to package Meritage, get rid of that contract, and try to.
I like him.
I like Meritage too, but I don't know if he's hurt. I mean, there's another guy that's oft injured.
Well, I mean, if you're trading AD, then you need to break it down.
Oh, they already said everybody's on the market right now.
Yeah, I read that too. I read Meritage and Randall. They did not
Drew even.
I did not hear Drew. I would love Drew. So,
like I said earlier in our podcast a couple weeks ago, trade Kyrie, bring back Drew and Davis with a pick.
So, I don't think, in order to do that, you got to get a lot of contracts to match. So, you'd have to do.
Yeah, I know. It'd
be Kyrie and Gordon. And I don't know if they would. Like, Gordon right now, his stock is plummeted. I mean, he had a bad injury, and then he came back, and he's had essentially 3 good games. And then the rest, like, especially that Golden State game recently. I mean, I know it's recent bias here, and, you know, if he has a good game tomorrow, tonight, forget all about it. But, man. Gordon hasn't looked great. So I don't know if finding a team to take that contract, even if it's for 2 years, is. And I don't know if Brad would allow Danny. I'm sure he would. He wants to win. But, yeah, I mean, it's a fun to talk about, Dale, but I don't think New Orleans is going to trade for Kyrie knowing he's not going to re-sign there. It's the same.
Right.
It's even a worse situation because at least Davis is on the books next year.
And also, I don't think the Celtics do it either because, honestly, Anthony Davis and Kyrie are really tight, and that's the only reason why Davis re-signs. I don't think Jason Tatum would be a reason for Anthony Davis, even though I know Tatum's going to be better than Kyrie, in my estimation, and you guys like him probably better than Kyrie as an asset, too. I think Kyrie is the reason why AD would re-sign in Boston.
Okay. I mean, I will say I love the idea of Marcus Smart and Drew Holiday as a starting back.
Oh, it'd be unreal.
That's nasty. But just the idea of those. But obviously Kyrie is better than those two players, but not defensively. Those two are as good as it gets. Like those are probably the two best defensive guards in the league, in my opinion. So
I think you guys are hating on Gordon Hayward a little too much. I mean, it took Paul George a year and a half to
I know. But this team. The difference is Paul George, when he came back, didn't have championship expectations. That's what he's walking into. Like, we don't have time for. Like, he kept him out there. I mean, him being Brad, kept him out there in the Warriors game, trying to let him work through it, and it just got worse. And during the offense, he wasn't in the flow. He was kind of standing in the corner. It was just, it was tough to watch. And believe me, I'm hoping that Gordon proves us all wrong and that coming back from this injury is tough, but you know, for in 6 months, a year from now, he might be dealing with Gordon Hayward, but we gotta deal with the issue right now as it stands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I for one am not a Gordon hater. I mean, I've always loved his game. I mean, I agree. His season has just been
terrible. Yeah.
Terrible. We also have to remember, too, he did have that procedure done in May. Me and Derek had talked about it yesterday, where that's a little – that delayed his recovery as well. I think it's more – I mean, I watched the game, and I don't think it's physical at all. I think it's mental. I try to focus on Gordon a lot because that's one thing, especially as a podcaster for the Celtics, is going to be a hot topic throughout the year. So I try to focus and watch him and see what he's doing. And it's like he drives the lane, he gets the edge on the defender, and you think he's going to take it up, and then out of nowhere he stops and he kicks it out.
Yeah, I did see that a couple of times in the game. And then when he does take it to the rack, man, old Gordon had bunnies. Like he could,
yeah, he just dunk over somebody.
He's not. He's like trying to lay it up, and he's not even laying it up. Like it's just. Yeah, it's a bad game. I mean, the Golden State game was a bad game for him, and he's gonna get saddled with a lot of the blame because when you lose by four, and you know he plays like that. But you know, I mean, hopefully over the next 2-3 months they figure this out, and you know when he's good to. You know, come the playoffs, he'll be at least a solid bench player. I originally was saying, you know, as recently as a month, not even a month ago, a couple of weeks ago, saying, you know, do you start incorporating him in the starting lineup? I might have to hold off on that. You know, just you can't mess with the rhythm of the starting lineup right now. But I just think. Man, it's been, I mean, Brad's had a tough job this year. I mean, he's really had a lot of, you know, between Jalen, Marcus, you know, and I think he made the right choice getting Marcus in there. Smart's a phenomenal player, but now Jalen's looking good again, too. So, yeah, he's going to have a lot of juggling to do.
Speaking of Hayward, let's talk about that game. Let's talk about the Warriors-Celtics game. We haven't been able to talk about it yet. Obviously, a very entertaining game. Steph and Kyrie went after each other. Watching those two go at it on Saturday was just – that's what the NBA these days is all about. Just two premier players going shot for shot, step for step at each other, both juggernaut teams. I mean, obviously, Celtics bench. That's the first thing I want to bring up. You cannot get 6 points off your bench. Especially if you're playing the Warriors. And we're supposed to be the team that, yeah, we don't have the starting five of the Warriors, but we're so deep that we can, that's the reason why we can beat them in the finals is because we can put two, you know, rotate two squads out there. And then the bench, we brought it up, Hayward, 2 points. Rozier was 0-0-0 for the first half. You can't be having that against teams like Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, that game was about as exciting as it gets. Yeah, the bench points was a big issue for sure. I mean, it was just so fun watching their handles going at each other mano a mano. Yeah, I don't think that's my – it's my finals matchup come junior. I definitely believe that's going to be the finals matchup we're going to be seeing.
Yeah, I've been sticking with it too, but
right.
Yeah, I mean – It's getting close though, because you know you got like Celtics to make it to the finals as a 4 seed or even a 3 seed. It can be a little more tricky. I mean, I know Cleveland did it last year, but we'll see.
Marcus didn't have his best game either, and that was I think the main issue for me in that game.
For Morris, I mean, or Smart?
Oh, Morris. Sorry. Yeah.
No. You're right. No, Morris. He came alive in the second half, but in the first half, he just did not have it. So, yeah, I mean, Morris definitely, like, another guy that did not play great. You know, did play well, though, and looked confident was Jalen. It was good to see that. Jalen was shooting the ball really well and just attacking. Liked what I saw from Jalen. Tatum looked well, looked good. Kyrie looked good, especially in that first
Jalen,
quarter.
Jalen gets up for big games, though, I feel like.
I was just about to say that. He's an emotional player, and
right.
I think that's why he goes in these spurts where he'll have a bunch of bad games and a bunch of good games because he's so emotional about it and hasn't learned how to accept the fact that it's day in, day out, that if he doesn't get his minutes or he does have a bad shooting night, it carries on into the next night. Versus on the other aspect of things, when he has a good night and he has another good night, it seems to continue to snowball and roll for him. And I think he needs to learn how to maybe find somewhere in the middle where he can contribute all the time and kind of get that extra gear for games like the Warriors, but realize when you're playing somebody, you know, like the Clippers or the Magic, that you got to bring the same type of professionalism as you would a Warriors game.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a tough loss. I don't, you know, as far as, you know, what it was, just, again, the bench, as we've touched on, just did not play well. And, you know, when Steph Curry, they did a great job in the first quarter. And then the second quarter, they still did a good job, but he was just pulling up from three. I mean, within 3 minutes, he had hit four threes, just back to back to back. And you're like, all right, this is...
And from absolutely ridiculous range, too. Was right. Face. Like, there was no way that they could have guarded him any better on three of those threes that he took. And it doesn't even... The net doesn't even move. It's unbelievable. He's the best pure shooter I've seen in my lifetime. Where he could just, from any angle, from any range, just throw up a jumper and it hits. I was personally frustrated with the game. I mean, I know we lost by four, but we should have won that game by like that. Golden State went absolutely cold, especially in the fourth quarter, and we just totally shit the bed.
Yeah, I really like the defense, though. I feel like guys were moving more in sync, and rotations were nice as well. But Al Horford, man, I mean, anytime he has a big game and showing signs back to getting closer to 100%, I think he's been just as disappointing as almost Jaylen Brown this year. But, he's been off and on. But I think my thing, too, with Horford, I'm not worried about him at all because I think – he will be there by the end when it matters. I think he's saving a lot of it.
No, I definitely agree with that.
Preserving it for the playoffs here.
Yeah, so, I mean, another thing, too. Not to blame the refs, but I had the numbers. I posted them on our Twitter page. It was like 31-14 at the line. Like, come on. Like, just stop. Like, especially down the stretch. They were calling fouls on, who was it, Durant shooting the three, and then...
That was egregious. He wasn't even touched.
I know. So the refs weren't great. Again, I don't like blaming the refs, but I mean, when you're at home and and there's a 31-14 discrepancy at the foul line, and it's not like the Warriors were like going to the hole every drive. They were shooting threes as well. It was just wasn't a fun night. But it's luckily it's just a regular season game, so we can move on and just try to work on, like, you know, getting Gordon back to normal. What do you do with with Gordon right now? Do you still just roll him out there, or do you? I've heard some people talking about resting him, like giving him like a week off or something. I don't think that'll help. I think that might do more damage than good. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, I think you just got to kind of take the bumps in the road.
Right. No, I really agree on that. I mean, it's going to take a while. I think you just got to pick the spots. I mean, get him his 20 minutes a game at least. I think they're doing a good job. I mean, he only had 22 minutes in that game. But he's had some games this year. I mean, there's a stat that when he scores over 18, they win most of those games. It's when he doesn't, the team has struggled quite a bit.
So do you look at with the Golden State game? Do you consider that they did lose, and we brought up all the negatives about the game. I get that. That's our job. We have to critique and analyze. Do you look at them only losing by four as a win, as a loss, or as a nothing type of game, morally, you know, more morale speaking? Like, oh, our bench only scored 6 points and we only lost, and it was 31-14. Free throw discrepancy, and we only lost by four. We can hang with this team all seven for seven games. Do they look at it as it's another loss? Our bench did only score six, or is it just, okay, another game down the road, let's keep going?
Yeah, no, I really look at it as a positive. I mean, I was really happy they stuck with him the whole game, and this is the Warriors starting to roll. I mean, Boogie's back, and he's not looking too bad at all, and they were on a 9-game winning streak coming into that. I know the Celtics were hot too, but they're not even close to 100% as a team. So the fact that they were able to shut Steph Curry down, I wouldn't say necessarily shut him down, but he only took 15 shots and 24 points in the game. And overall, Klay and Durant shot decent percentages overall, but nothing amazing. I thought the defense was very, very good overall. Definitely more of a positive than anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's some positives take away and negatives. We've kind of touched on both, you know. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when you lose a game at home, you know, especially a game where you are fully healthy, it's frustrating. I don't believe in moral victories when you're as good as the Celtics are. So, I don't know. So, you know, it is the Warriors, and, you know, when you see them, with Cousins, who looks healthy, I almost can't wait for the year to end, because the Warriors are going to lose Cousins, they're going to lose Durant, and it's going to be, if they all end up, you know, a super team in LA or somewhere else, then I guess that's the same problem. But, it's a loss, you move forward, you got the Nets tonight.
Speaking of hot teams.
Yeah, Nets have been on a roll, no doubt about it, they've been killing it.
10 out of 12, 7 in a row. Although they did lose Dinwiddie, so.
I did see that. Yeah, I can't feel bad for Spence. But, you know, overall, this should be a revenge game. You know, the Nets beat the Celts pretty good, even though they didn't have Kyrie and Marcus. But, I think this is a nice revenge game. I think the Celts should handle business tonight, get back on the winning track. And,
Speaking of Kyrie,
he will
be out tonight.
Kyrie is out tonight?
Yep. A hip strain. He's day to day. They're going to reevaluate him at the end of the week, but Kyrie is out tonight with a hip strain. Although the Nets may be without Graham, Harris, and Jefferson. So it's looking like the benches are going to have to come into play. Which I hope not, because we only scored 6 points against the Warriors from our bench, and their bench against the Knicks on Friday scored 72.
Well, good news, started Terry tonight. So
exactly.
Yeah, scary Terry coming out, and he's starting.
I assume they're starting him. I mean,
I think in the starting lineups, Rozier, Tatum. I think they went Rozier, Tatum, Brown, Smart, and Horford.
Okay. So
you know, what they, I think, announced.
It's crazy to me, though, when you look at Terry Rozier's minutes as a starter versus a reserve. So his stats are way better overall, like assists, points, everything's up a million. I mean, three-point percentage, 43% in the 7 games he started versus 34, and everything else is down. But his plus-minus as a starter is minus 6.7 versus plus 1 is a reserve.
Yeah, and I mean, that's an interesting stat. He's definitely shot the ball better, and, you know, I will say that much as a starter, but, you know, minus 6 as a starter is obviously not great. But that, I think one of those games was the last Nets game where they got blown out in that third quarter. You know, D'Angelo Russell was hitting everything he threw up. So I think that quarter alone, but, you know,
with a small sample size, you're not wrong. I can skew everything.
I know. But it's an interesting stat, and Terry's has, you know, ups and mainly downs this year. But, you know, with Kyrie being out, it's weird, though, that Kyrie, the last couple games he's missed, they're both against the Nets. I still think the Celtics get revenge tonight. Be nice to see Gordon bounce back and have a good game. That would be ideal. I think that would help his confidence a lot.
On a positive note, my favorite underrated player on the Celtics is back with the team after dominating the G League. Robert Williams was called up.
Yeah, Time Lord.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we'll see if he gets some run tonight as well. I hope so. It's fun to you know, he's always going back and forth. He's probably frustrated because, but, you know, he's a young kid. And did he even play a game in Maine? Did I miss that?
I don't even think he played one game. He was supposed to play, and then Kyrie getting hurt, they called him back up. I would like to see him stay on the roster. I just, especially with the defense we need to play lately, I don't know. I mean, I like the young kid. I got a soft spot for him. I'll fully admit.
Oh, absolutely. I would have him. I'd have him on the roster over Yabu.
Let's talk about that real quick. What has he done except for dancing in the tunnel before the game comes out?
Twitter's obsessed with his ass, and that's all.
And looking like Drew Hill on the bench with his bright ass hair. Like, I am tired of seeing Flubber sit on a bench and waste minutes and do absolutely nothing except give garbage time and jack threes, or we're down by 20 and oh, now he decides to dunk. Like, at least I know with Robert Williams what I'm going to give me excellent door, and he's going to rebound. And if you put the ball up above the rim, he's going to probably dunk it. Yabu is, I was a big Yabu believer when they drafted him, especially after what he did for Shanghai. But that man has given absolutely nothing to the team. I don't know why you wouldn't try, because is he up this year or next year when it comes to his contract?
They actually guaranteed his contract for next year, and everyone has stated the same reason. It's a contract to match money in a deal. But they did pick up his option for next year.
He's so frustrated.
Danny's thinking long term, though. He wants to send a bunch of young kids to the Pelicans, and Yabu would be in there to make the money work.
I get that, but when does it become a point where you're always looking towards the future when you do have a kid that would be part of the future and probably a bigger asset than Yabu in a trade? If Robert Williams comes out and they give him bona fide minutes instead of switching him back and forth between the G League and the NBA, and he shows what he showed. What is he averaging? What is it? Per 36, he's averaging 6 blocks, correct?
It's about that still.
Yeah. He plays great defense. If he shows that athleticism, as the Pelicans, say in the summer, who are you going to want as that last asset piece in a trade? Now, again, Yabu's got to match some salaries, but you might be able to, you know, throw Yabu in a different trade, a la the Ava Bradley trade with Detroit, when they essentially did that to get rid of Bradley's contract, bring in Morris. But, you know, why, if Robert Williams shows that, he was obviously a high, his motor was the thing in question, why he wasn't a lottery pick. If he's showing the motor now, and he's very good, albeit he's not getting as many minutes, isn't he more valuable as that, like, last piece that the Pelicans are like, okay, well, you'll have to throw in Williams and we can get this deal done, but you don't have to include Davis.
Well, if we're taking back more money, though, so if it's more than just Davis is the thinking. Because, like, if they're going to get rid of Davis, they're like, look, we have a bad contract we want you to take, whether it's Meritage or whomever. So, right. I mean, so that's why having those fillers, you know, can make it happen. But, you know, we're kind of running long here. So before we wrap up here, what do you guys think here? Final thoughts. Does AD go at the deadline, or is this not happening until the summer?
Yeah, I personally don't think he's going to leave till the summer. I do think it's probably, I'd say I go 70-30, that 70% saying he'll leave this summer. I mean, something's for sure going to happen, but things look better for Boston, I'll tell you, if they wait till this summer.
Which would benefit the Pelicans, because it's just another team that can bid and offer you some young studs. But, you know, maybe they don't want to wait. I don't know. Or maybe they really like the Lakers or another fill-in-the-blank team's pieces. What do you think, John? Is it going to happen at the deadline, or is it going to happen in the summer?
I think they're gonna lose with him or without him the rest of the year. I mean, the team is not good at all. They're decimated by injuries. They're gonna be a bad team either way. So why not wait until the summer where everybody can be involved? They can take the best possible deal. And I think I'm right with Zach. I think it's 70-30 unless the Lakers literally give up. If you listen to their fans, they're willing to give up every single starter on their starting five plus two draft picks to get AD, which personally, if they did that, I'd love it because they would absolutely have nothing. But
yeah, empty that bitch.
I think it's 70-30. They're going to wait. Like Derek, you had said, and Zach had reiterated that too as well. Why would you, when you only have a select number of teams right now that you can work with versus in the summer? Because, hey, who says they got to get a deal done this summer? Maybe the deals aren't as good as what they think. They still got them for a whole nother year next year.
The longer, I will say this, if they don't do it in the summer, the longer they wait, the less they're going to get. So
probably. You're right.
So I actually would say as well that it's going to be in the summer just because not only the Celtics, but other teams can, if you're a team that's out of it right now, but you can change that in the offseason by signing someone and then trading for AD. So I think there'll just be a bigger market in the summer. So I think that'll be the deciding factor. But, if the Pels have already decided they really like Kuzma and Ingram and the draft picks, then they would rather just do it now and not risk, a Davis injury that could really screw his value. Other than that, I think it's only makes sense to wait to the summer if they're being somewhat smart here. But, yeah, we'll wait and see what happens here, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of updates via Woj, Shams, and the like.
Real quick,
yeah.
Question: Say he doesn't get traded by the deadline, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Pelicans obviously know they're not making the playoffs. Do you think they sit AD because of that injury risk, knowing that he's their best asset? They're going to trade him in the summer. They need to get the best possible package. Do you think that they sit him the rest of the year?
Yeah, I do. I think they'd be really dumb not to, especially he's going to be out a couple weeks here for sure, and the team's falling apart. But I also would trade Nico, Julius, and Drew. I'd try to trade them for best available package right away. Get the full tank going.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, start tanking and see if they can get another high pick as well. So yeah, I think they would have no problem resting him, with the playoffs out of the question. But I mean, it's interesting though, because if AD did come back and he was healthy, they went on a run last year in the second half after they traded for Mirotić. I don't think it's out of the possibility they couldn't do the same thing and, maybe sneak into the playoffs. But now knowing that AD is definitely gone regardless, what's the point of being one and done in the playoffs anyways, outside of selling a couple more, home game tickets. So, I think resting him is probably what you're going to see, which stinks for me. I got him in one fantasy league. But we'll see how it pans out. But, thanks, Zach, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. And we'll do it again soon. And we'll hit you up. But again, you guys, catch Zach on Twitter at Zach Noble, and his podcast Four Seasons NBA Pod.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
You too, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. And thank you everybody for listening. We again, Celtics Pulse, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Go ahead and download our app. It's free on iTunes, Pulse Podcast Network. And to our daily fantasy player fans. We have a promotion with Thrive Fantasy. They'll double your deposit. So the link is in our Twitter, at Celtics_Pulse, or at Pulse Podcast Network. They have the link in there as well. All right, everyone, have a good night.
See you.